is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Thank you very much, William Tinkin. He's not actually here. That's a recording that Kevin Tinkin did of his son doing the intro for my show a couple weeks ago. I'm going to continue using it.
I'm upset that you chose to do that for mine.
Really?
First of all, he has the same name.
Was William Tinkin,
yeah.
And you're William Lushball.
Exactly. Second of all, I'm leaving tomorrow. This is supposed to be about me.
It is
and you
supposed
don't,
to be about you.
You're getting,
right.
Everyone loves kids, and so
that's
everyone
true.
Likes him more than me already.
Yeah.
Three, you told him good job.
I'm not the one who told him good job. Kevin Tinkin told him good job.
That's family. There. Okay.
Give him a high five.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, you're right. I mean, it's like, how would you like to be on the old Johnny Carson show to promote your movie on the same night that he had an animal act?
Yeah.
No one's even going to remember
exactly.
You.
Exactly. Look at that kangaroo. You know, yeah, yeah, exactly.
George
yeah.
Lucas could have been there talking about Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And if the crazy chick from the zoo had shown up with a chimpanzee, nobody would have gone to see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll know.
Because they'd be like, yeah, so what was George Lucas talking about? Some monkey movie he's got? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So basically, Kevin Tinkin's brother is equivalent to a chimpanzee currently.
Kevin Tinkin's son, I guess.
Oh.
Is his son, yeah.
Oh, not his brother.
Much younger.
I retract those statements.
It's like three. His kid's like four, three, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good public speaker already.
Yeah.
He beat me for the intro, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? If you would like, you're welcome to do an intro. If you want to throw to me, just say, welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast. Here's your host, JT Foreman, if you want to. Or you can put it in a different way if you think you got a better idea how to.
JT, I've moved on.
You so, moved, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm not over it yet.
Okay. That's just me, just moving on.
I feel bad. I do.
We could just, you know.
Okay, now I'm over it. It takes me a little
longer. Oh, okay, good, okay.
All right. Well, hey, I am JT Foreman. This is episode 61 of Bitter Comics. I'm here with my good friend, William the Silly Noodle. Lushbaugh.
Yeah, that is a new nickname. My name is William Lushbaugh.
Yes, his name is William Lushbaugh. Hello. And welcome to episode 61 of Bitter Comics. We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode.
God damn it.
So, for my insensitivity in episode 60, I would like to apologize to black people, movies, Terry Michaels, cheese, hackers, and anyone who breastfed.
So all mothers.
No, the one feeding.
Oh, okay.
So the person who was fed, I guess. Anyone who was breastfed.
Oh, okay. Okay, so everyone,
yeah.
Basically. Okay.
Well, you know, most people. There are people out there who didn't breastfeed, but you know, they're on average score 15 points less on the SAT.
Oh, really?
So, no, I
you
made,
that made
up.
That
I
up.
No,
okay.
I,
so
no
I don't usually know about anything that's.
Well, that's awesome because, you know, anytime I argue with you, I'm just going to throw out some bullshit statistics and I win.
Yeah, you'll win.
That's great. That's how I'm going to argue from now on with people is just I'm going to make some statistics up. It's like arguing religion with someone.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how religious they are, chances are they've never actually read the Bible.
Exactly.
So you can just say, you know, it says in. Lushbaugh verse 28.
Yeah, the Lushbaugh
chapter 43.
Yeah,
that thou shalt blow me. So and
oh,
you know,
really?
Jesus says,
I'm
going to
blow you in the name.
Thou shalt
of
blow
my
me.
Savior. Yeah,
in the name of the Lord. Yes, you're going to suck my dick in the name of the Savior. Well, if you would like to know specifically why I'm apologizing. Check out episode 60 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, go to that website and scroll down a little bit on the right-hand side of the page. There are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or my Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies or to send any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, please put, "Just take your date to the full prize movie, you cheap bastard."
That's real. You're going to need to apologize to women who've blown people in the name of their savior. You're going to have to. You've already done. I'm just letting you know now. Well, so I don't have to send the email. I don't have to send. Yeah.
I suspect that that's a pretty small number.
Okay. But you don't want to exclude.
Oh, that's true. I want to be inclusive.
Yeah.
Will, how's it going, dude?
Wonderful.
Thanks for coming here. This is actually an emergency episode.
It is.
I was looking at my calendar today, and I realized that tonight there's a show at Mother Mary's featuring, actually headlining, what is going to be William Leshbaugh. And this is his farewell show because he's leaving us to go to San Francisco so that other people can explore his sexuality.
Exactly. Bring the gay jokes. Let's do it. Yeah.
Bring the gay jokes.
Every person in San Francisco is gay, right? Yes.
That's all. Everyone in San Francisco is gay.
Yeah, I was watching.
Especially the dude who shot Harvey Milk.
Oh,
he was a closeted homo. Yeah, okay. I think
everyone's in the closet.
If you're gay, then you're gay. If you're not gay, you're in denial. And if you're anti-gay, then you're in super denial.
You just add a super, yes. Yeah.
Excellent. That's right. See, you know, here's the thing. There's the whole, you know, we will pray away the gay stuff. You know, there's like classes you can take and camps you can go to.
Oh, fight the gay, make them straight kind of thing.
All that stuff.
So you don't relapse in homosexuality. Yes. Yeah.
See, I have a couple of comments about that. First, if you can train someone to not be gay, then that means you can train someone to be gay.
Yeah.
So your sexuality doesn't really mean anything anymore, because through mind warping it can be altered. So what's the point in bothering to change it? It doesn't matter
if you can always change it. Yeah.
Yes. And now if it can't be changed, if it's something that someone is inherently, then what you're doing is forcing someone or convincing someone that they should deny themselves. And you're causing great harm, not just to that person, but to society as a whole, because then that person is going to be unbalanced, and that person is going to damage those around them.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I agree with you.
So, my opinion, I think that if a person is gay, it's because they're born gay. You don't turn them gay. So that means I did not turn my ex into a lesbian. I just helped her realize it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that that's really any better. But you mentioned my part.
Yeah, you mentioned training, and
but she's happy.
Is there, because there are the courses to train you to be straight, but are there ones to train you to be gay?
Actually, that is a good question.
Yeah, I'm curious right now. I don't have the information.
Well, see, here's the thing: is that I can see, I could imagine that some homosexual out there would read the Bible and look at Jesus' wife and be like, "Well, you know, he never got married." And, you know, he spent all his time hanging out with these 12 other dudes. So maybe it's not homosexuality that Jesus was opposed to.
That could be.
You know, because look at it this way. If Jesus were surrounding himself with 12 female apostles, we would all be making harem jokes right now.
Yeah.
And if Jesus were female and were surrounding himself with 12 female apostles, we would all be masturbating right now.
I sense you're going there, and I still found it hilarious.
We'd all be masturbating right now. And if Jesus were female and she surrounded herself with 12 male apostles, we'd all be masturbating
we'd still
be masturbating right now.
Church would be a lot different.
Yes, church would be much different. It'd be a lot more fun, but quite a bit messier.
Yeah.
And I think it, like the people in the front row, they'd have the tarp like from Gallagher concerts.
Church would be similar to a Gallagher concert.
Yeah, church would be like Gallagher with, but it wouldn't be watermelon.
Church is already, no.
I am going to hell.
Yeah, that's a...
You know what? For that, I'm going to apologize to Gay Jesus next week, next time. I'm going to have to apologize to Gay Jesus. Gay
Jesus. It's fine.
That's terrible. I'm a horrible human being. Well, see, yes, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, you know what? If you're Christian and you don't like what I just said, forgive me.
Yeah.
That's the great thing. It's because you can, like, if you give Muslim shit, they, like, blow things up. So you got to be careful, but you can fuck with Christians all you want, and no matter what they say, they've got to forgive you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's their rules. It's like, you know, we need to figure out some sort of a loophole within Sharia law that forces that you can, like, give shit to Muslims and they can't do anything about it. I'm not sure exactly what to do. With, you know, I think it's just if you subjugate women, then you can say whatever you want to Muslims, because they'll just, like, really be into that.
Yeah.
Because they seem to really like to treat their women like
shit.
To
some extent, some. Yeah.
Well, you know, the biggest thing I don't understand is, you know, okay, so a woman in the Middle East. Okay, you know what? You're in the society that forces it on you or raised you that way and trained you. You have to do all this stuff.
But
I don't understand a female Muslim in the West.
In America,
I can understand a male Muslim in the West, because you're in a religion that says your women have to do all of this stuff, everything you say, and have to be totally subjugated to you and follow your every command, and no other man can ever look at them, and they have to be hidden and all that stuff. So I can understand the crazy misogynist guy becoming a Muslim in the West, but I don't understand.
Well, there's a woman in the West
becoming a Muslim. I just don't understand.
Well, for instance, things like the veil, it's more so for protection. You know what I mean? I mean, who's more likely to get raped? You know, you got, you know, American female walking, you know, with breasts showing and whatnot, or a Muslim woman with a veil and whatnot.
Well, I don't accept that, because, you know, actually, here's the thing: the woman is like, well, you know. If I'm walking down the street and there's a guy walking toward me down the street, you know, I'll cross the street because, you know, women are more likely to get raped, and I don't know who that guy is, and maybe he looks a little creepy. Yeah. And of course, then I would say, well, yeah, you know, because if I'm walking down the street and I see a black guy coming toward me, and I cross the street because, you know, statistically, black people are more likely to. And she's like, oh, that's racist. Well, yeah, but isn't what you're doing sexist? I just have to protect myself. Well, don't I have to protect myself?
But look how much stronger I am than a woman.
Nate Fullen said it better than anyone I've ever heard in my life. And I really want to steal this joke from him. I'm not going to. I'm going to give him credit. Nate Fullen said it. He said, you know what the most racist thing...
He wants to. Yeah,
I want to steal this joke from him. I'm not going to steal this joke from him. I'm giving him credit. Nate Fullen said it better than anyone else I ever heard in my life. You know what the most racist thing in the world is? Statistics.
Oh, yeah. That one's really good.
You know what? That's hilarious. It's not... That's so true. Statistics are racist.
Yeah.
Not an argument about whether the circumstances forced or anything. It's just the reality right now is what it is.
Currently, just, you know, colored people get arrested.
And the reality right now is that Nate Fullen's mouth is wired shut because he got jumped by six black dudes who were pissed off.
I wonder why.
Nate was mad because they stole a jar with a bunch of change in it from his apartment.
Yeah.
And they jumped him. So, you know what? Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck those people specifically. There's always reasons why people steal. No one wants to steal. I don't think you're born with wanting to just steal things from
people.
Well,
I don't think you're born with wanting to steal, but I think environment teaches you that it's a good thing to do.
Or it's just an option, a more realistic option.
I know there are people, and not just black people, there are people out there who have absolutely no compunction about stealing. They think that they're entitled to just take whatever they want. I do a bit about a guy in high school that I used to call the Purple Bandit.
Yeah, and he paints everything purple.
Everything he steals, he'll spray paint it purple. That guy actually goes... I did know people like that when I was going to Clovis High when I was in high school. He didn't actually spray paint everything purple, but there were a lot of people, like, stuff got stolen from me and I would catch them. And you know, this one dude I knew in high school, I can't remember his name. I remember the last things I ever said we ever said to each other when we were in high school. He had stolen something from me, like a notebook from me. And I went to him. I was like, dude, give me that back. And he said, dude, I'm tired of you always accusing me of taking your stuff. It's mine. I stole it fair and square.
Really?
Yes. And that's he actually said that
that's
to me.
That's true. That is a true
That is a true story. That is exactly what he said to me. I stole it fair and square. There are people out there who simply do not respect anyone else's right of ownership of anything.
Yeah.
They think they're entitled to take, and when you tell them, hey, that's mine, they're actually surprised.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, at least if a black guy steals your shit, he'll sell it and get rid of the evidence. But like these rednecks that I grew up around in Clovis, they will steal your shit, use it in front of you, and they're when you say, hey, that's mine, they're actually surprised.
Yeah.
They really are. It's amazing that that sense of entitlement that some people have, you know, and we're hearing from the Republicans all the time, oh, he's entitled, and they're kind of inferring the black people on welfare.
Yeah.
But, you know, the most entitled people in the world are white people. Why
do you subscribe to that? Yeah, yeah.
Growing up in Clovis made me a racist. I do not like white people.
Oh, yeah, white people. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's...
They're dominating right now. They're doing really good, like, with their team. Yeah, in the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
So I mean, I don't know.
Well, anyway, they're in the lead. On that racist note, we're going to take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with the William Lushbaugh with Bitter Comics, and we will be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with William Lushbaugh.
I am William Lushbaugh. I am here with JT Foreman.
Well, now that we have that all straight.
What I did.
Yeah, I see what you did. A speech jammer on me.
I did.
We will be talking about the speech jammer later. I have to get one of these things. Foreshadowing. They sound awesome. Yes, that's foreshadowing. But for right now, William Lushbaugh.
Hi.
The nickname that I so cruelly gave you at the beginning of the show was the Silly Noodle.
Silly Noodle, yeah.
Now, those of you familiar with the Fresno comedy scene will be aware.
So that, none of you? No.
Yeah, so yeah, both people listening, basically, are probably already aware that the Thai Palms restaurant, where two or three comedy shows a week go on there.
On average, yeah.
They have decided to like incorporate themselves or something into a separate entity as the comedy club.
Yeah.
You know, because the Thai Palms restaurant is still there.
Yeah.
But the comedy shows will now fall under the umbrella of the Silly Noodle.
Yeah.
And a few weeks ago, William Lushbaugh was doing some experimental comedy performance, shall we say.
I would say so.
I would
just
say experimenting.
Utilizing my resources.
Yes, utilizing his resources. And now he has become known as the Silly Noodle. Now, the only person he's known as the Silly Noodle to is me. I haven't heard anyone else call him that. But, Will, why don't you tell us about what happened at the Silly Noodle that actually eventually caused you to get banned?
Banned. Actually, it's the second time I've been banned, and I think that is a part of the reason.
What was the first time? Oh, yeah, you like pissed in the backyard or something.
In the backyard of a it was one evening, just a lot to drink.
Well, there's a sewer grate on the floor in the patio back there, and it smells like sewage half the time in the patio area of this of the Thai Palms, anyways. And that's not your fault.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know what? Honestly, if you got drunk and peed out there, you know what? People fucking get drunk and pee at bars. Deal with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously, you know what? Were you drunk and you got drunk?
I peed in bushes.
Were you drunk?
Very drunk.
Were you drinking there?
Actually, I had just gotten there. I was drinking prior. I was over in a
tower. So you weren't drinking there. All right. Well, you know, if you were drinking there, you got drunk and you peed in their bushes, you know what? That's a cost of doing business.
Yeah.
But you drank somewhere else, got there, and then peed. Okay. I guess, you know,
but
pushing it, but okay. Yeah. I see their point of view. I disagree with them, but I see their point of view.
I agree with them. I have been a regular customer and whatnot, and, you shouldn't. When there is a restroom 10 feet from you,
that's true.
Should use the restroom.
No, you're drunk. You're drunk,
yeah.
And they're a bar.
But you shouldn't be that drunk at a bar. Also,
No. You're drunk and you're at a bar. You know what? Sometimes drunk people piss in the wrong place.
Yeah.
That's if you want to own a bar, that's just one of those realities you got to accept.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if your son comes to you and says, I'm gay. You know what? It doesn't matter if you think it's right or wrong. That's reality, and you got to accept it. And if you own a bar, someone's going to piss in the wrong place. And it doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's reality, and you got to deal with it. So I'm going to have to say that Ty Palm should not have banned you for pissing in the bush.
I think they're more focusing on preventing future pissing in the bush.
They do have a little bit of leeway there, considering the fact that you didn't drink there. You drank somewhere else and then came there and pissed.
But I have have contributed to their place plenty of times on that particular evening. And though I am not sure. Actually,
now, if you'd have shown up there sober, got wasted there, and then pissed in the back, then they have absolutely no right to ban you. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. I paid for this bush. Yeah, yes, yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, I may have I didn't remember that I did that until a month later. Someone had told me, yeah.
All of a sudden, one day, you're like,
what happened?
Why did they ban me from Ty Palms?
Yeah, or like,
well, you pissed in the bush.
And I was like, oh. And then I had to go to a friend, talk to him about what had happened and whatnot. So, this recent time, it was an open mic. It's a free show, 21 and over show, free show, no cover. Trying some new material.
Monday night.
Yeah.
Monday night at Ty Palms.
Yeah. And I'm trying some new material, and the basis of this material. First of all, I do something about how I don't masturbate anymore. I just fuck air. That's kind of one thing. And then
you don't masturbate, you just fuck the air.
I just fuck the air. It's some stupid. I was open mic. I'm trying new stuff.
Okay.
And then I also say how a lot of comedians talk about masturbating, but I've always thought that actions speak louder than words. And then I paused, and what had happened is I turned around facing the wall, away from the crowd. I was wearing a t-shirt and a flannel. Removed my flannel. Pulled down my pants, wrapped the flannel around my buttocks and to cover the sides of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was exposed, but I was trying to hide it as much as possible from the audience. And then I fucked the air, you know?
Okay. And so did you actually pull your penis out of your pants?
It was out of my pants.
Okay.
And but I didn't think anyone could see my penis.
Here we are CSIing his penis.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what the thing, because they said someone claimed to see my dick.
Can we see the surveillance video?
I want that person who claimed to see my dick to describe my dick to me. I want them to describe it, and that's how we'll be able to. Because I think they just said that they saw my dick to be included, because audience members want to be included all the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just typical in any comedy room. It's just what they do.
Well, you know, whoever it was who said they saw your penis,
email
you should offer her a closer look.
I would love to do that to any, whether or not you've seen my penis. But
okay, you know, okay, they're at risk of losing their liquor license if people are taking their clothes off on stage.
Is that true?
You can't serve hard alcohol at a place that has stripping.
I thought they do that at strip clubs. They serve alcohol.
No, you can't go. You can't take the top off, and of course you can't take the bottoms off anywhere in California. I don't believe so. And you can't take the top off if there's alcohol served.
Oh, okay.
So, or if there's hard alcohol, I think they can serve beer if the top is off. Either way, you can't pull your dick out in a place where alcohol is being served.
Oh, okay.
That is a rule. Or a law in California. So stripping going on in the place does put them at risk of losing their liquor license.
Oh, okay.
So I can understand from their business point of view being really harsh on that. But I still don't think that alone is enough. Now, considering the prior incident, I guess I can see. I would have...
And you know, because I planned to do this material... And then after I did it, because the prior incident was, it was 6 months prior. And so it wasn't really on my mind. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, wait, I fucking did that 6 months ago. They're probably going to be, because granted, I left the stage thinking, perhaps knowing that no one saw my dick because of the flannel. You know? And then
the flannel would be kind of camouflaging it anyway, so even if the dick were out, who would be able to tell?
Yeah, the dick was out, but you couldn't tell. And that's Kenny Thomas Rita. He's like, they just trip him, you know, you had the flannel. But, you know, yeah, they are at risk though, so if
yeah. Yeah, if someone complains to ABC, and they are at risk of losing their liquor license, and a bar that loses its liquor license is not a bar.
Exactly.
You know, it's just going to go out of business. You know, so, okay, I understand. I want to be on your side.
I
personally am a believer without any real restriction in freedom of speech. So if you want to get up on stage and do anything you want to do, as far as I'm concerned, you should be able to do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. But I do also understand their point of view and their reality. So, yeah, I guess I personally would not have banned you. I would have said to you and then everyone else, don't ever take your clothes off on stage again or you will be banned. Yeah. And I would say to everyone, okay, he got one. This is his last warning and you guys all aren't getting any warnings.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell everyone, don't ever take your clothes off on stage.
Yeah.
Now, one would think some people would say, well, should I have to tell people not to take their clothes off on stage? Yeah, you know what?
You do.
Some people are funny when they're naked. I mean, if you've ever seen me flexing in front of the mirror, you understand how funny naked guys
can be.
You're going
to get an applause break.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I would get an applause break for that. Exactly. Yeah. So, actually, there was this bit that I used to do where I would take my shirt off. I was just doing a joke about why I don't understand why women are attracted to men at all, and I would take my shirt off to prove how unattractive men really are.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And, that's, you know, funny. It's this pasty, gelatinous glow covered in hair with a mole that looks like a third nipple, and I was like, okay, I think I proved my point.
And then applause breaks, I'm assuming.
Applause break and some vomiting.
Yeah.
You know.
But here's the thing.
I never took my pants off, though. So one time I put my shirt back on backwards by mistake.
Well, that's not as embarrassing. Come on, you just had your. It's not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I just turned it around and kept going. But
what I'm saying is, like, yeah, granted, maybe just say, hey guys, exclude the nudity.
Yeah.
Because you comedians are making us a shitload of money every week. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But thing about Thai palms, and this is no offense.
Did I just burp into the mic?
I think I did.
Sorry.
They're forming into a comedy club, the Silly Noodle, but always and forever, they will always have to be an Asian restaurant, a Thai restaurant before
the comedy club. A Thai restaurant with a full bar.
Yeah, before a comedy club, you know what I mean? Yeah. And more Thai restaurant before a full bar, too. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, okay, so I guess basically the bottom line is I disagree with their decision, but I understand their reason.
Yeah, and I understand the reason, too, and part of the reason, I'm moving anyways. Yeah. So,
well, is that what triggered your deciding to move? It's like, well, comedy's dead for me in Fresno. I guess go to San Francisco. They love to see my dick there.
And they have. And the thing, I've always been planning on doing San Francisco.
Yeah.
I've talked to numerous people. I'm young.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do...
Well, you're what, 22, 23?
21.
21? So, oh, yeah. Okay.
You don't want to go to Los Angeles too soon, especially nowadays. Yeah. I like San Francisco. I like the Bay Area better than L.A. I don't like living in L.A. The idea of it. So just always plan to go up there anyways.
Well, you know, I had been planning to move to L.A. to try to pursue my comedy career. The meeting a girl kind of changed that idea. But... I was actually told by a couple of comedians from San Francisco or who work both San Francisco and L.A., you know, kind of going back and forth working on theirs. They told me I should move to San Francisco instead of Los Angeles because they think that my style of comedy would go better there because they said it was more cerebral.
Yeah, a lot of times people will say that, and, you know, I don't think that's true. I think for you in a case, I think you could do both. You know what I mean? I think there's certain venues in Los Angeles that would suit you as there are same in... Yeah. I mean, it's the Bay Area. You're going to have a bunch of diverse shows. Yeah. It's, you know, so many cultures there, you know?
Well, see, the thing about L.A. is they have this, what they keep calling the alternative comedy scene. And I don't understand... I still don't understand what that means. What exactly is alternative comedy? Do you have any idea what they're talking about?
I have an idea, and I have my own opinion on this too. But I know Scott Aukerman, who runs Comedy Bang Bang and Comedy Death Ray, kind of right now would, you know, maybe be described as an alternative comedy scene guru.
That doesn't tell me anything.
But here's what he said.
I mean, because like if I ask someone what the difference between country and rock is, they will describe the different kinds of sounds, the different kinds of instruments that are done, and the different voice styles for the music. Yeah. But no one can explain to me what the difference between stand-up comedy and alternative comedy is.
Well, what I would say is, and what Scott Aukerman has said, actually, I'm not going to try to, you know, take his ideas. He said alternative comedy isn't about the material you do, the style, it's where you do it. You know? So are
that's
you...
not different then. It's no different than stand-up
not,
comedy.
But
it's,
then,
like, it's like stand-up comedy is if I tell my knock-knock joke at a comedy club or a bar or a restaurant, and alternative comedy is if I tell my knock-knock joke at the laundromat.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah. So that's how it would be. But then now I think it's morphed into this thing where you got kind of like they're trying to mesh absurdist and surreal humor kind of and make that synonymous with alternative comedy, which I don't see why. Now I'm seeing a trend of the Twitter comedians.
Well, that's just people doing one-liners. That's not new. That's Henny Youngman.
But they're always very deadpan. They're always awkward. They're always awkward.
That's Henny Youngman.
And dark. Yeah.
So. Yeah, well, seriously, I mean, he was known as the king of the one-liners. He did comedies for decades in the earlier and middle of the last century. And, you know, the so-called Twitter comedians, they all sound like Henny Youngman to me.
Mm.
I mean, so that's one thing is that I think, kids these days, you know, I have some old man complaining now, but I think so many people claim to be doing something new that's not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not claiming to be doing anything new. I know other people have done stuff before me. It just I'm not if something I was doing would catch on, I would probably grab credit for it.
Yeah.
Given the opportunity, but I don't see anything groundbreaking in what's going on anywhere, really.
Well,
you know, Chris Rock is incredibly funny. He wasn't groundbreaking. I don't care what anyone says. Louis C.K. is incredibly funny. He's not groundbreaking.
No.
No, none of these people are groundbreaking. But you know, groundbreaking was Lenny Bruce. He started doing something different.
Yeah.
You know,
if he was funny, it would be different. But
well,
I don't. Lenny Bruce is important.
Yeah, well, a lot of his stuff is funny, and some of it isn't. I mean, honestly,
you
know what? A lot of George Carlin stuff that I've heard, I didn't think was all that funny.
You know, and that's the thing. I tell people, I like George Carlin. You know, you're a comedian, you like George Carlin.
Yeah.
I don't really like George Carlin. I have to say.
I like some of his material, and I don't like others.
Yeah.
I don't find others of his material funny. I like all his material, but I don't find it all funny.
See, I respect him, but he definitely has
I do have great respect for
but
him.
But no influence, I don't think. But new, groundbreaking. I don't think the only reason why nothing's new, you know, but the only reason why I think it should be new is because, for instance, it's JT. It's JT's form of comedy. It's JT's.
Well, I mean, there's always specific details that are different. But plus, you know what? People these days have no idea who Henny Youngman is. So somebody doing Henny Youngman. It's like I used to say, I wonder if Gallagher and. I wonder if Gallagher and Alice Cooper ever get together, watch tapes of Carrot Top and Marilyn Manson, and say, I know I've seen this before somewhere.
Yeah.
Because both of them were always so groundbreaking, all these, Carrot Top, all these props. You know, his props are really funny and they're inventive. Gallagher's props were funny and they were inventive.
Yeah.
And Marilyn Manson, he's creepy and weird. Alice Cooper was creepy and weird.
But you don't want to categorize people like that, because what if the first comic to talk about relationships, and that was it because it's been done before.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you would miss out on so much great, hilarious comedy.
That's where the uniqueness comes from.
Yeah.
Is not that, he talks about relationships. It's that he talks about his relationship.
Exactly.
That's where the uniqueness in a comedian's act comes from. And on that note, now that I've offended every comic that's ever lived, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman here with William Lushbaugh. We are the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back.
Yes.
This is JT Foreman here with William Lushbaugh.
William Lushbaugh, JT Foreman.
We are the Bitter Comics. You're supposed to say we are the Comics Bitter.
Oh, okay.
All right, here
I'm
we go.
I'm still going to... Okay, never mind, let's go.
He's going to speech jammer me.
Yeah.
We will get to the speech jammer later. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so, Will, you're going to be moving to San Francisco.
Yes.
Congratulations. Have fun.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to see you go. I'm not sure what specific pleasantry I should be giving you, but, you know, cool.
Yeah.
Have fun. San Francisco seems like a cool town, except the hills would drive me up the fucking wall.
Yeah.
You know, I realize, oh, we bitch about the hills in San Francisco. No, really, that's the thing. That's the one thing that would bug me. That's the one thing I like about Fresno, actually, is that it's all flat. It's all flat.
Yeah. But that's sort of the only thing you can
That's the only. Yeah, it's really the only thing you can say good about Fresno. Well, see, that was cool growing up because as a kid, I rode my bicycle everywhere.
Yeah.
And if I lived in a city where there are hills everywhere, riding a bicycle would just suck.
Yeah.
So I guess I have this nostalgia for, actually, that was the only good thing about my childhood is that since it was flat, I could ride my bicycle. So I have this nostalgia for the one good thing about my childhood.
Uh-huh. Which was, Well, although it's very
which is the one good thing about Fresno.
Yeah.
So have fun in San Francisco. Now you got a job waiting for you?
Yeah, I'm gonna work at Levi's.
At Levi's
it's retail.
Selling blue jeans.
Selling pants, yeah.
Selling pants. Awesome.
Minimum wage there is $10.25 an hour though, so that's what's interesting.
Minimum wage needs to double. That's my opinion.
Okay,
now think about this. How much do you have to make to be able to support a family of four at a reasonable, even lower middle class range? My guesstimation of that is about $40,000.
Yeah.
Now that's in Fresno. That allows you to rent a 3-bedroom place, so your two kids each have a room, and that lets you take, you know, a small vacation, maybe go up to Yosemite. This is nothing extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not turning your entire wall into a TV, but you know, you got a nice TV, so you can watch.
You're just trying to have a good home.
You know, just nothing crazy extravagant. Just kind of having a normal life. I think you need to make about $40,000 a year in order to support a normal, nothing crazy, normal lifestyle. And so that is what I think minimum wage is going to be. Now, of course, everyone is, well, you know, kid in high school doesn't need to be making $20 an hour.
Exactly.
That's true. But so many jobs are moving towards service industry now, which is the lowest paid industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny that the empty water bottle is sitting over here on the table, and I have the oscillating fan going, and since the bottle is empty, it's really light, and every time the fan faces it, it just pushes a little bit closer to the edge.
And I just caught it.
And
yeah.
I was just waiting for the fan to blow it off the edge of the table. You just caught it now, so good work. And now you're holding it like it's a football.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't look anything like a football
player,
by the way.
No. Flag football, I think so.
Flag football,
I think
that's
right.
Flag football. He's going to San Francisco.
Okay.
Oh, okay. But I'm bummed. Anyway, so you're going to be working at
Levi's.
At Levi's.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And
have fun.
Living in a project housing, sort of. Basically, there's a staircase. Underneath the staircase is my bed, next to a water heater, and there's shelves, and then there's no doors.
Well, it'll be warm.
It'll be warm, and that'll be cool.
Well, actually, it'll be drafty.
Yeah.
Because there's no door.
It was weird. There's a lot of people in my house who don't know English, but it's very cheap. Very cheap, so. Mm.
Well, you know, I'm wondering when they're going to start doing this. Well, can I just rent a box?
Yeah, can I
you
just
know,
cause lean?
Like,
I could lean on this wall. And I'll be cool.
Yeah.
So
well, you know, it's just like I just need a closet. I'll hang my clothes up. You know, put the bars up higher. I'll hang my clothes up, and then I will put a small mattress on the floor, and then that's your entire living space.
Yeah.
And then you go in there and you sleep, and you put a little TV up on the wall, and you can watch TV while lying in bed. And that's
you
just have
TV
this your little closet, and you pay $50 a month to have a closet that you live in. And, you know, I'm wondering when we're going to get to that point, because I remember a while back seeing some, I think it was airports in Japan, that had these, like, holes, literally they're holes in the wall that are 6 or 7 feet deep into the wall. And they're like bunk just beds, you know. The space for you to be in is like a coffin,
It was like that in a plane.
It was like in an airport.
Oh, an airport. Okay.
So like, you get there, you got a commute, or no, not a commute, but you got a layover you got to wait for. I'm tired. I want to take a nap. Okay, you can rent this little, literally a hole in the wall,
and lay in there and go to sleep
while you're waiting for your plane, and you know just. So, you know, I'm wondering when we're going to get to the point where single people on minimum wage jobs are so broke that literally all they can do is rent a space the size of a coffin to sleep in, just so that they're not completely homeless.
And then when they eventually become homeless, because people, you know, fire people all the time from low-paying jobs, then they can just stay in the coffin.
Exactly.
And then... I mean, the finale.
I think it's going to happen.
I think it's going to happen. Call me a nut. Call me a nut.
Call me crazy. But, you know, I swear I saw an article talking about really condensed space housing that they're experimenting with in some of the larger cities where, you know, it's like, because I have a one-bedroom apartment. I don't know how many square feet this is. I've never been able to get an idea in my head of, but... You know, to me, this is actually kind of a lot of room.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you get studio apartments, and I'm wondering just how small are they going to make it? You know, get to the point where it's not just a studio apartment, because in the studio apartment, at least the bedroom and the living room are the same room, but at least there's a separate bathroom and a separate tiny kitchenette.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll get smaller where they're going to combine the bathroom and the kitchen. And where so the toilet is like next to the refrigerator.
And eat.
And, you know, like you sit on the toilet with the kitchen table in front of you as you eat
or something.
You know, when they're getting smaller and smaller until we're literally living inside of a coffin. Yeah. And when you die, they just lock
close
the door.
It. Yeah, just close it.
And leave you there.
And then just it shuttles to, you know, morgue or something.
And then they make Soylent Green out of you.
Yeah. we're headed there. I'm living where I live. So many people live in the house I'm living in. I haven't even met most of them.
Yeah,
there's so many people.
Well, when I was in Seattle, I rented a room at a house. It was a 4-bedroom house that was converted into 7 bedrooms.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's like four of the bedrooms or 3 of the bedrooms were converted into 2 bedrooms each, and you could tell where the fake wall or the new wall that they just put in was, and where the door where they literally cut a hole in the wall to put another door there.
Yeah.
And I lived in one of these bedrooms that was half of a bedroom.
And you knew you could just see the different color. You'd see the proof.
Yeah.
And
like,
this shouldn't be like this.
You know, and I think I paid like $250 a month.
Yeah, that's
and of
my
course
range.
Now I have access to the refrigerator, but your roommates will steal your food.
Exactly.
So you may as well not have a kitchen. You know, I got tired of buying food and other people and it being gone. Oh, and nobody knows what happened to it.
Yeah.
You know, so if I had stayed there much longer, I probably would have bought a mini fridge just to put in my room.
Yeah.
But they would have broken in my room to steal the food from me there too. So, you know, while I was living there, almost all I ate was takeout from fast food places. You know, I'd stop at McDonald's on the way or something.
And wasted so much money, yeah.
Well, it wasted so much money and had a horrible diet.
and probably felt like shit because you had a horrible
diet. Yeah, I kind of felt like shit.
And you live in half of... Yeah, it just makes you feel... It's a compound of things that make you feel like shit. Yeah. And I'm heading there. Yeah. But I do have a mini fridge space, so I'm...
Okay, well, that's good. That, yeah. As long as you have space for a mini fridge, that's good. Well, awesome. Okay, so you've been exploring comedic possibilities in San Francisco already, or just when you get there, you're gonna look around?
I have. I've done the Hella Gay comedy show at the Deco Lounge previously. Open mics like at a place in Berkeley Cafe yesterday, and just various open mics, comedy cellar, and whatnot. But when I go there, I realize this: I've never been an audience member for live comedy much. You know?
Really?
Well, not that I've never been an audience member.
Well, you've been at shows, but you were performing at them most of the time.
Or even I was still a part of the scene. Like, I'm still, you know.
Well, you're a comedian, so it's not the same as you just show up to
show
see a
up
show.
And seeing a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't have, you don't know the comedian. So for a while, I kind of want to go to shows and just not even tell just anyone I'm a comedian undercover. And just be an audience member.
All right.
And just be like a comedy. Because I feel like, you know, after I do that, I won't have a chance to do that ever again.
Well, you know, I would agree with you that I would say that I want to do that, but I know exactly what would happen. The very first time I'd go to a comedy show, the show would be over, and I would like just like, I want to go talk to the comedian. Yeah, I'm a comedian too. Can I? So I would go with that intention, and I would blow it the very first time.
Or if you're watching someone on stage and they're not doing well, you're like, I just want to crack at it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, sign me up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's like you go to a comedy show, and while you're watching it, you're taking notes on suggestions for him.
Yeah.
And after the show, you're like, hey, you know, I think that bit is really great, but you want you to add this. And they're like, you just use the word bit. You're a comedian, aren't you?
Yeah,
are you a comedian? Because you
no,
just,
I'm an audience.
You know
member.
Our terminology. No, I'm not a comic. Why do you know our terminology?
Yeah. Why are you writing tags and jokes? Yeah,
you're writing tags. I got a great tag for that bit. Okay. Yeah, he's a comic.
Yeah. I want to try it because I've never had it. When I started, I went at the first comedy show I went to in Fresno.
Yeah,
and it was the first comedy show I've been to. You know.
Yeah.
I did open mic, and then it's just always kind of been like that. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and I've watched Friends. I've watched Friends perform.
One thing I will say is that, to an extent, not completely, but to an extent, doing comedy has really hurt my enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
Because I used to be able to watch any comedian and I would enjoy the show and I really liked it. And now, a lot of times when I'm watching comedians, I'm like, that's not funny.
Yeah,
that's,
you judge it.
That's so, come on, dude, you can do better than that. You know, I'm funnier than this guy. God damn it, why is he on TV?
That's always the
comment. That's the biggest problem, is that the arrogance of, I'm funnier than him. But you know what? My dad says that to me a lot. When he watches Comedy Central, he'll be like, yeah, I saw this dude on Comedy Central. You're funnier than he is.
Yeah.
Why aren't you in LA? It's my dad's trying to push me to move.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about, and which yeah, that's weird. Is like, but if I had not met my girlfriend, I would have moved by now. But
that's true.
I'm getting pussy. Pussy ruined my life. That's all that there is to it.
Yeah.
It's like Terry Michaels told me that he used to be a student athlete with a 4.0 GPA until he discovered pussy and beer.
Oh.
And that ruined his life. And
that's like a norm. Huh.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. So all right, cool. So you're moving to San Francisco. Well, you know, I want to give you some idea of what you're in for.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I know if you've been to San Francisco. I don't know if you've ever lived there or not. So I want to give you some idea of what kind of people you're going to be running into.
Okay.
Now, there's this website called textfromlastnight.com.
Heard of it.
Yes. What they do, alcohol and drug-induced text messages
mm-hmm.
that people have sent, and they'll send in, and they post them on the website. Now, I have a segment that I do called the 559 Text of the Week, where I will look up our area code here in Fresno to see what kind of craziness is going on in texting here in Fresno. But you're moving to San Francisco. I believe you told me it was 415 area code?
That's the area code of San Francisco.
Okay, yeah. So I just want to read you a couple of three of the more recent text messages from the 415 area code.
Oh, this
on
is
text
good. I'll get to know future neighbors,
exactly.
Colleagues, and whatnot. And yeah.
If you meet any of these people, they sound fun.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly. Okay, so here's the first one. Now remember, this was a text message that somebody sent in the San Francisco area, in the Bay Area.
Okay.
If you do that, I will make all sorts of uncomfortable comments about my nipples being soft.
Oh, so
I really want to know what the rest of that conversation is.
Yeah, what was the situation?
I don't know. It doesn't say. I really want to know what the rest of it is. But it got 2-1 votes that it was an indication of a good night as opposed to a bad night. So you can vote on whether you think that text message indicated you had a good night or a bad night. Uh-huh. It's 252 votes for bad night and 555 for good night. So
well, titties wins.
Titties.
Actually, I want to. This
you know
is
what?
Kind of off topic.
Even straight chicks like titties.
Yeah, titties are universal.
Titties are awesome.
But no, here's the thing. You got Taco Bell before we got here, correct?
Yeah.
And then you asked me if I wanted anything, and I said, no, I'm fine. Nice gesture. Mm-hmm. And then they asked you if you wanted to donate to breast cancer, and you said, no, thanks. And so I think we have evidence to believe that JT likes me more than titties. Would that.
Yes, that, I do. That, I like yeah, you more
yeah,
than titties.
Yeah, that, so that, I just. That, popped in, it reminded me. So,
yes,
okay.
I want to like. I like you more than titties. I'll admit
there,
it.
Yeah,
I do.
There we go. Just
well, you know what? I keep asking titties to be on my podcast, and they won't do it. And you've done like 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm more reliable than titties.
You're much more reliable than titties. Okay, number next we got another one here. This again is a text message from the Bay Area. Just out of curiosity, did you wait until my Facebook picture was well liked by others before liking it so people won't know we're fucking?
That's good. That's a good one.
You know, I think that's kind of a universal thing. And, of course, the answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
Of course he is. If he doesn't want to know other people, he doesn't want other people to know you're fucking, he can't be too quick to respond to anything you do.
And
because if you put up anything and he's the first person to like it, they're fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
The first, I put up a post today about the fact that I'm doing this podcast with you.
Uh-huh.
And the first person who liked it, I want to fuck her.
Oh, okay.
I do.
You do.
Now, we haven't. I'm sure everyone assumes we have. We haven't.
Oh, okay.
Everyone assumes we have because she was the first person to like it. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to fuck her.
Oh, okay. I see. That makes sense. And you also, another thing about that, say you wanted...
She's going to unfriend me now.
Yeah, yeah. That's bad. But you can't... It's creepy if you say message this person who you fucked and say, oh, I like that recent picture that you posted. That's creepier. You know what I mean?
Creepier if you message them saying you like it. So it's creepier if you keep it private.
Exactly. So you still have weird. To do it public. Yeah.
That's weird. It's much creepier to say I love you than to paint it in your own blood on an overpass.
Yeah.
It's strange how things have changed.
Well, no,
there was a time
that's love.
There was a time when I would paint "I love you" on an overpass, and people found that untoward.
Uh-huh. Well, now we're living in this,
it's just
interactive theater.
You know, I'm crestfallen over it.
Word of the day.
That's the word of the day. Crestfallen. on the way back from Taco Bell, I used the word heartbroken. And then right afterwards, I said, no, I'm not heartbroken. I'm crestfallen. Yeah. Because I like the word crestfallen more.
Yeah.
And then we started talking about, well, you know, I wanted pizza, but I dropped the crust, so it's crestfallen. And it just got weird.
Yeah. It just became a car ride. Yeah.
Okay, so... All right, one more text message from San Francisco. And this one's kind of artsy.
Oh.
So I think that's good for the area. Here we go. What can I say? I'm an artist. I think deep thoughts in between the homoerotica and pterodactyl noises.
And this person's on drugs or alcohol when they do that. Correct?
Probably.
Yeah. And they're just thinking about themselves being an. I just fucking hate that. I fucking hate that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
doesn't that piss you off?
Well, you know, I hate when a person brags about their good. They're good traits.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, I was in Sonoma a couple weeks ago a week ago.
Yeah.
With Danny Manch and Torrio Van Grohl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to Danny about something. I don't remember exactly what. And there's this woman there who's been prancing around the place with this giant dog that she has, telling everyone about how she rescued the dog.
Oh, you're a hero.
Yeah, I rescued a dog. Yeah. And, you know, Danny told me a story about Jesse Staub, another friend of ours, how she actually rescued a dog. We're going to take a break real quick. As soon as we get back, I'm going to tell you that story that Danny told me. I'm JT Foreman here with William Lushbaugh. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. Okay. This is JT Foreman here with William Lushbaugh. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, see, this woman, she has one dog. And she's bragging about how it's a rescue. I rescued this dog. See how look a wonderful person I am because I rescued this dog? No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a story that Danny Minch told me about Jesse Staub. There was a stray dog in the parking lot of the store that Danny works at. And he calls Jesse. And she comes out to get the dog. And the dog looks sick and is emaciated. It's starving to death. It's hurt. And she tries to get close to it, and it runs away. And she tries again, it runs away. She puts some food out. It starts eating the food. She tries to get closer, it runs away. She puts some food out again. It starts eating it. She tries to get closer, it runs away again. Until this went on for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
3 days. Until finally, the dog trusted her enough that she was able to get close to it and put a collar on it and take it home. And she nursed it back to health and found it a home. Jesse rescued that dog.
Yeah.
This bitch went to the shelter and got a free dog.
That's what she did. She didn't even rescue it. She adopted it.
Yes, this other bitch. She went to the shelter.
She is a bitch.
And got a free dog.
Okay, yeah.
She got a free dog. She didn't rescue a dog.
Yeah.
Jesse Staub rescues dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's the difference to me. And, you know, when you see something... Now, I'm allergic to dogs, so I'm not going to do anything for dogs. I can't do nothing for you. Actually, it's kind of nice. I got a great excuse. Yeah. Sorry, I'm allergic.
I'm allergic to pussy, so I'm not going to try to get laid.
I'm allergic to dogs. Yeah. So, no, I can't. Yeah, I could get laid if I wanted to. I just, you know, the pussy, it's just...
my nose, it makes it runny.
My eyes. It makes my penis runny.
Yeah.
And It's bad enough that this person is being all braggy.
Yeah.
But they so diminish the work of people like Jesse. And you know what? And Danny, this is the thing about Jesse, is that Danny, as Danny put it, he would not even know she had done it unless he'd been there at the time. Yeah. Because she doesn't go around bragging about, oh, I rescued a dog that I spent 3 days. Now, she likes to show pictures of all these dogs because, you know what? She loves dogs.
Yeah.
And that's why she does all of this work to rescue all these dogs. I mean, there are probably hundreds of dogs that are alive and have good homes right now because of Jesse.
Yeah.
And so she rescues dogs. That other woman, she got a free dog.
Yeah, that's it. And the other woman diminished the quality. Granted, adopting a dog is a good thing to do.
Absolutely.
It's a good thing to do.
You know what? If you want to adopt a dog, send a message to Jesse Staub on Facebook that you want to adopt a dog.
Yeah.
And she will help you adopt a dog.
But why prance it around? What if she would have kept that dog and people went up to her and asked her, oh, that's your dog. Oh, yeah, where'd you get it? Oh, actually, I rescued it. It was a pretty cool dog.
Yeah. It was really big. It was really friendly. You know, it was a cool dog.
Well, and then, two, leave the dogs at home, too. Yeah. I think you can leave the dogs at home.
This is in Sonoma, and that's a place where they do that.
I'm going to fucking hate San Francisco.
It's just kind of people bring their dogs everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, the people, they don't have kids. They have dogs instead.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
You know, honestly, I would rather people bring their dogs than their kids.
Yeah.
I would. And I wish... I'm going to start telling people I'm allergic to kids.
Just so they won't bring them
around. Just because I don't want to deal with it.
Just what you need to do is you need to go near elementary school and then just start sneezing for hours. And have evidence of that.
Achoo.
Yeah. Have video.
I'm allergic to kids. I'm allergic to children. Okay, before we go, I have to tell everyone, I was going to do the list of the 2012 Ig Nobel Prizes. These are like the Nobel Prizes, except they're given for research research that is absurd or ridiculous or the hell did they get a grant?
Yeah.
You know, kind of. And I want to read the grant request for some of these things. Now, we don't have enough time to go through them all, but since I mentioned the speech jammer a couple of times, I gotta mention that one. The 2012 Ig Nobel Acoustics Prize was given to Kazutaka Kurihara and Koji Tsukada. I have no doubt that I pronounced those wrong. So let's just say two Japanese dudes.
Yeah, dudes.
I assume they're dudes. It could be chicks.
Japanese people call each other dude all the time.
Two Japanese dudes for creating the speech jammer. A machine that disrupts a person's speech by making them hear their own spoken words at a very slight delay. So imagine you're out to dinner with your girlfriend, and you're having a nice conversation, by which I mean you're bored and she's spouting nonsense.
She's blabbing. Yeah,
just
she's
blabbing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
talk and jive.
You kind of wish you would stop. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you take the speech jammer, you point it to her and you toward her, and then you press the button. And then every word she says gets repeated back at her at like a half a second delay.
And it's similar to when you call someone and they put you on speakerphone. And then you can hear yourself.
It's basically the speakerphone machine. You call someone, they put you on speakerphone, and now you can hear yourself back. And it's really weird. And it's really disorienting. It's hard to concentrate on the... Because, like, hey, dude, what are you? You do, ing, right, now. You can't talk? But
you say you're going to do this to your girlfriend. But, I mean, not you. People are going to use this thing.
I think that's how it's going to be used.
That end up? How would she feel when you're pointing this thing at her?
Well, she won't know it's you.
Oh, she has no way to know.
Hold it under the table and just press a button. And then it's going to... She'll be hearing herself back. You know, and if she does catch you, I just wanted you to understand how ridiculous you sound.
Oh, yeah, you're going to want to say that, yeah.
So be really sensitive about it.
Yeah.
So, the speech jammer, this looks awesome. I might have to see if I can order one of these.
I respect people, so I will not.
I don't respect people. No. I don't respect myself. I don't respect others.
Oh, that's true.
It's like my whole life I've heard people talking about how we have to respect other people's cultures. Kim Kardashian... Paris Hilton.
Another hot celebrity figure.
Not just another hot celebrity figure. I'm trying to remember the name of American Idol.
Yeah.
Survivor. I don't respect my own culture.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm not going to respect someone else's.
Yeah.
Will, thanks for coming to the show.
No problem.
I wish you all the luck in the world in San Francisco. I'd love to come up sometime and go to open mic there. But it sounds like you don't have a couch for me to crash on.
Not currently. Six months yet.
Okay, cool. Awesome. If you ever come back to hang, you're welcome to crash on my giant orange couch.
Oh, definitely.
If you want to. Of course, your mom lives in town. You probably.
Yeah. Fuck mom. No, I'm just kidding.
Is she good looking? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
I'm terrible. I'm horrible.
I will be showing my dick to an audience here soon, hopefully after months.
So you're going to San Francisco so other people can explore your sexuality?
Yeah.
I still like that joke. I'm going to keep telling it.
Yeah. Touring with my dick.
All right. Well, awesome. Have a good time. Do you have any shows coming up in the next few weeks you want to plug? I know tonight we're doing Mother Mary's.
It's my final show here.
Yeah.
And after that, it would just be an audience member, like I said, for a little while.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, be sure to tell everyone up in San Francisco about my podcast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, that's all I'll talk to them about. It's the only thing.
Thanks a lot for coming to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
I'm JT Foreman here with William Mushball.
How's it going?
We are the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you again soon. Peace.
Later.